welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Merry Christmas Eve. Today, we have a special Bob Hope show. This episode was recorded on Christmas Day in West Berlin, Germany, as a thank you to the troops running the Berlin Airlift. Now, we talked about the Berlin Airlift a few weeks ago and during the commentary on one of our Bob Hope shows. This episode is number 399 of the Bob Hope Show, and it originally aired in America on December 28th, 1948. Here now is Bob Hope from Berlin, Germany.
In cooperation with the United States Air Forces, presents the Bob Hope Show from Berlin, Germany. On Christmas Day, 4,000 miles away from home, thousands of American boys listened to a show that brought them a little bit of home. They were the boys who keep the airlift into Berlin running, the boys who have given up their Christmas to help strengthen the cause of humanity. Because of these men, a child eats who might otherwise go hungry, and the light of freedom burns more brightly in the world. To carry to these Americans overseas something of the fun and spirit of America, Bob Hope and his gang, at the request of the United States Air Forces, flew to Berlin. What you are now about to hear by transcription is the very same show our men enjoyed Christmas Day. The laughter is their laughter. The show was their special show. And now, Lever Brothers Company, makers of Swan Soap, is proud to present Bob Hope.
This is Bob broadcasting from Berlin, Germany, for the boys in the Airlift Hope. Now, with all you guys, I'm here with Swan Soap and Lotz. Meet me tonight in Potsdamer Platz. Before it hit the ground. And what's after?
I won't say how bad the weather was crossing the Atlantic, but when we got on the plane, they gave us all a small life raft and a copy of Robinson Crusoe. We bought some heavy long underwear in New York. We were doing all right, too, until just before landing, the co-pilot stood up and hollered, "Flat down." With us. He didn't help our morale any. All the way across, he kept saying, "How deep is the ocean?" It was really cold flying over here. I ran out of blankets, so I wrapped myself in newspapers, and the newsprint came off on me. When I landed, the Marshall Plan was all over my chest, and a congressional committee was investigating my back. General Clay was at the airport when I arrived. I ran out and said, "Here I am, General, all ready to go." He said, "Fine, get back out, and we'll turn the plane around." I belong, so I got off the plane singing Lily Marlene. A whack rushed up to me and said, "Oh, Miss Dietrich, you've gone and cut your hair off, did you?" But this certainly has been an unusual experience flying into Berlin. It's the first time I was ever in a corridor and didn't have to worry about the house detective. Several Soviet planes started to buzz us, but the first Russian pilot took one look at me and said, "They're okay. Look at the hammerhead and sickle." I want to tell you, though, the good old Air Force hasn't changed. They make you spend an hour getting into a parachute, then fly so low you wouldn't have time to open a parasol. In fact, one pilot flew so low over a farm around here, milk started forming in the wing. Lucky the car was bow-legged. People over here really know me. Whenever I walk down the streets of Berlin, everybody follows me yelling and cheering. Any of you fellas know what Schweinhund means?
You know, a lot of fellas, a lot of people volunteered to come over here for this trip, this Christmas trip here, and I now have the privilege of introducing one of America's all-time great men of the Air Force. I get a special charge out of presenting General Jimmy Doolittle.
Thank you, Bob. I'll take less than a minute of your time, but as an average American, I want to express the gratitude and appreciation of 147 million Americans back home to the soldiers, sailors, and airmen who are accomplishing the airlift. You're doing a magnificent job, not only for Germany and America, but for all humanity. I also want to express the appreciation of all of us, to Senator Barkley, to Secretary Symington, and particularly to Bob Hope, Irving Berlin, Jinx Falkenberg, the Rockettes, and all of the generous and talented group who are with them and are spending their Christmas here in order that they may bring home a little closer to you.
To our swan show this year. The folks back home have really latched onto it. I'm sure you'll agree with them when you meet Miss Irene Ryan.
It was wonderful of you to bring me on this trip. You know, I've met some of our boys here, and now I know why the Americans do such a wonderful job on the airlift.
Really? What do you mean?
They're so great on the pickup.
Miss Ryan, isn't that sort of thing for the younger girls?
Oh, I'm not as old as I look. You may not think so, but I'm just arriving in my early 30s.
Arriving at your 30s?
Yes.
Didn't you buck a headwind most of the way? Say, Miss Ryan, how'd you enjoy yourself over there?
Well, we were flying at 10,000 feet, and the altitude...
What are you blushing about?
Please. We were flying at 10,000 feet and the altitude sort of affected me.
Really? Well, altitude never bothered me.
Yes, but were you ever up on high before?
You said it. I once climbed to the top of Crosby's Wallet.
Well,
this line, except because the time I got sore at the pilot.
Well, you shouldn't blame him, Mr. Hope. He had to go back and run the ship. He couldn't stay there any longer, rocking you in his arms and rubbing your head with Jergens lotion.
Well, they do it for majors, but please don't give these fellas the impression that I wasn't brave.
Well, it wasn't so hard for you to be brave, Mr. Hope. You were wearing two parachutes.
I have to. I'm built that way. And besides, it gives me more safety. In case the first one doesn't open, I pull a string on the other one.
What if that doesn't open?
Well, I've got a helium valve that inflates my shorts. Did you enjoy the stopover at Paris?
Oh, yes. I went shopping, and I got a complete new outfit. I bought an off-the-shoulder blouse and one of those long skirts that trails on the ground. Then I had my hair done up in spit curls. Then I put on one of those French berets, and they stopped me at the border.
They did, huh?
Yes. The MP shined a light in my face and said, "Who are you?" I told him that I was a girl from the United States and came in with the last shipment. He said, "That's the trouble with those steamship lines. They let things lay around the dock too long."
Alice, I want to present a young gal now that's really prepared to come over and sing and visit with you fellas, and are you lucky? Miss Jane Harvey.
That introduction over again.
Why, is there something wrong, Irving?
Yes. You know, you've got the name wrong. It's Irving Jones.
Irving Jones?
Yes, I changed it. Anything over here named Berlin, they cut up into sectors.
Yeah, but Bob, I'd like to get serious in a minute, if I may.
All right.
All of us are deeply indebted to the Air Forces for the job they're doing here on the Berlin airlift. And by way of showing my appreciation, I've written a special song.
Every 3 minutes of every hour, an American plane goes winging to Berlin, loaded with the food and fuel which keep 2.5 million people alive. This is a tremendous job, as we know, and it's called Operation Vittel. Not long ago, a group we called the Air Corps helped build the wall and took a bow. Not long ago, we cheered the fighting Air Corps. Let's see what's happened to them now. Operation Vittel, we'll soon be on our way with coal and wheat and hay, and everything's okay. Operation Vittel, as in the air we go, we won't forget to blow a kiss to Uncle Joe. We're growing fonder of the wild blue yonder, making a buck, flying a truck. No one here belittles the job that must be won. Although the war was won, we'll be there, earning stripes and bars in our old freight cars till the airlift gets to air.
Pleasure to bring you a Hollywood gal who flew here with us so she could be with all you guys on Christmas Day. One of America's leading beauties, Miss Jinx Falkenberg.
Thank you, Bob, and thanks a lot, gang.
Say, you look very nice tonight, Miss Falkenberg.
Oh, thanks, but you don't have to be so formal, Bob. Just call me by my nickname, Jinx. What's your nickname?
Well, I used to have one when I was a kid, but I don't use it anymore. They call me Pickle Nose.
Pickle Nose?
Yeah, I was a cabbage smeller in a sauerkraut bag.
Oh, Bob.
Jake, it's fun having you here, though. Now, you know, I was listening to your breakfast program with your husband, Tex McCrary, back in the States.
Thank you, Bob. You know, we do the show right from the breakfast table.
Yeah, well, they were going to do a broadcast like that from the mess hall here, but it didn't work out.
Why not?
Well, before they could get started, a chow-on peeled a microphone and ate it for an hour. We got a chance to see this Christmas celebration over here.
Oh, I meant to ask you, Bob. Do these boys have a real Christmas tree?
No, but they have something just as good to hang a few extra medals on a second lieutenant and plug him in. Fellas royally during holidays.
Oh, different than the rest of the year.
Oh, yes. On Christmas morning, each enlisted man is awakened by a gentle tug in his shoulder. And when he looks up from his bunk, 12 MPs are standing there singing Jingle Bell. After the MPs carry them in piggyback into the mess hall, the cook runs in with a foot gun full of beans and shoots them on the plate so that they spell out Happy Temporary Duty.
These fellows pretty well. Why are they always so anxious to get passes?
Well, it gives them a chance to catch up on their reading. But some of these fellows do go out, Jinx. In fact, I know one GI here who had a date with three girls every night, and each one is in a different sector.
Well, listen, if each girl is in a different sector, how can you get around to see all three?
Well, he's got a Hershey bar with wheels on it. Jinx a girl. Let's show the folks back home how the soldiers of three sectors make love to a girl.
Well.
And now we take you to Berlin, where an American GI is calling on his sweetheart.
torpedo. The plane just landed at Temple Hall.
Oh, Robert, it's good to see you. Come into the house and take your hat off.
Okay. What's the matter, miss?
But do you love me, Reggie?
Of course I do, Governor. You make my blood run hot. Which is quite a feat when you consider it's half sea. Never happens, lemon of salt. What do you say, old girl? Shall we be married in a fortnight?
Oh, I prefer a church wedding. Oh, Reggie. Reggie, your proposal has made me very happy.
Good. Now, enough of love. Who do you think will win next year's cricket matches?
Oh, please. We're engaged now. Take me in your arms and kiss me.
As you wish. There you are. Belle, did you like it?
Who do you think will win next year's cricket matches?
Now, still the same team, same girl, but this time with a soldier from the Russian sector.
Come in.
How'd you do, Oh, no, that's all it is. Wrong sector. Good evening. Good evening, comrade, darling.
Oh, it's you, Ivan. How are you?
Very tired. I've been on KP all day long. No, killing peasants. But anyway, I'm fine. I'm also the most handsome, fascinating, gorgeous, irresistible, talented, beautiful man in the Russian sector. Would you like to kiss me?
No.
All right, I'll kiss myself. I do not understand how you can resist me, standing here so close to me. Does it make you weak?
No.
That's funny. It makes me weak. I've come here to ask your hand in marriage, my little Jinkichka.
Marriage? Oh, but do you love me, Ivan?
Well, this morning I sent an application to the Kremlin and also mailed two copies to the proper authorities, and tomorrow morning they will notify me.
They will notify you?
Yes, tomorrow they will tell me if I love you. Let us celebrate the occasion. I have brought some vodka.
What is vodka?
That's a zombie that belongs to the Communist Party. I have changed my mind. I have decided not to wait to hear from the Kremlin. I have decided that I love you.
But I thought it was you that you loved.
That's all right. I ain't jealous. Come, Babushka. Marry me.
Oh, wonderful, Ivan. And maybe after a little while, there'll be a few little Ivans.
A few? The first year of our marriage, we will have 15 children.
15 children in 1 year? How is that possible?
Don't ask me. It's a new order from Stalin. Heat and cold. Oh, thanks for the memory. Before we say goodnight and take our homeward flight, we wish you all a Christmas that is merry and is white. And we thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, the Berlin Airlift is the biggest thing that's ever happened to post-war aviation, and believe me, spending Christmas with the men who run it is the biggest thing that's ever happened to us. It's a great pleasure. Both Wiesbaden last night, and here in Berlin with a lot of the men of the ground force. You know, I've been singing Thanks for the Memory for a good many years, but I never expected to sign off a show and go off the air with the memories as thrilling as Christmas at Operation Vittles. Speaking of thanks, I'd really like to spread them around, and I'd say thanks to the gang making this Hollywood to Berlin and return jaunt with us. Jinx Falkenberg, Irving Berlin, Jane Harvey, Bill Farrell, Tex McCrary, Irene Ryan, Tony Romano. They're the kind of people who make show business a business with a big, warm heart. And I want to put in a king-size thank you for Larry Gelbart, Cy Rose, Mort Lachman, Al Capstaff, Gene Wagner, Jim Saffer, Charlie Cooley, Jack Wormser, and my friend Jay Scott. They're the writers and directors and secretaries who put the airlift at the top of their Christmas list. We couldn't have put on a show without them. And above all, our thanks to you men of the Berlin Airlift. It's been wonderful spending Christmas with you, and I only wish the Statue of Liberty could talk. Because she'd take one look at the job you're doing and say, men, you're not only lifting coal, you're lifting men's hearts. You're raising the Iron Curtain, and the torch in my right hand, you're putting it in every heart in Europe. Good night, folks, and here's a little P.S. from the gang in the Berlin Airlift. Happy New Year!
You have been listening to a special broadcast of the Bob Hope Christmas Show from Berlin, Germany. You have heard the show transcribed just as it was presented to the men of our United States Air Forces abroad. This broadcast was brought to you by Swan Soap, the newer, better white floating soap. Swan, better for dishes, better for hands, better for baby, better for bath. Be sure to listen next week when Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Swan, presents the Bob Hope Show from Hollywood.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, is my hair fairest of them all?
It is when you use Rave cream shampoo. Rave leaves your hair so clean, so soft, so easy to manage. Easy to manage because the pure lanolin in Rave is specially blended with other important ingredients to make hair behave, even on shampoo day. Try Rave cream shampoo. R-A-Y-V-E. Rave cream shampoo.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Wednesday for another episode of The Bob Hope Show and check in on Friday for the next installment of The Life of Riley. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and consider giving the show a Christmas present to keep us on the air by clicking on the Donate button or the Become a Patron button. Until we meet again, in the words of Bob Hope, my idea of Christmas, whether old-fashioned or modern, is very simple. Loving others. Come to think of it, why do we have to wait for Christmas to do that?